Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I'd like to talk about... Back in May and June of 2015, I wrote a couple of blog articles about railroad style of play. The first I titled, Railroad vs. Sandbox, The Timeline. And the second, What If Your RPG Involves a Railroad? So first, I want to talk about my article from May of 2015, Railroad vs. the Sandbox, The Timeline. So obviously, railroading the players, that is, forcing them to do what the DM wants to do, without regard to what the options are available to the players, is not a good thing. But if you think about it, there is a sort of a railroad that runs through sandbox-style play that, if I explain it right, I hope you'll agree with me, should be an acceptable and welcomed part of play. And that is the timeline. And what I mean by that is, the DM comes up with plots, situations, rumors, and so forth, and puts certain things on the campaign calendar. Things that will happen, barring intervention by the PCs or others. For example, the sun comes up every day unless something changes that. So the DM comes up with a situation and puts it on the calendar or the timeline of the campaign, and that something major event will happen unless something stops it. And the major event could be something good or something bad. An example of a good event is a diplomatic marriage that will end decades of war, and this event will happen barring outside intervention. An example of a good event is a diplomatic marriage that will end decades of tragic war. This event will occur without any outside intervention to interrupt it. However, suppose there's a powerful wizard that likes this war because it keeps these two nations too busy to stop her consolidation of power among groups of humanoids. The end of hostility means that she'll have to use her time and other resources to stop their meddling instead of putting it towards her own goals. Thus, it makes sense that this major NPC would hire an assassin to keep her own involvement in the background. Perhaps the PCs have not discovered the existence of this big bad. Perhaps the DM assigns a chance the assassination will succeed or fail. The DM determines through a roll or through choice that the assassination will succeed unless someone finds out about it and does something to stop it. Now, it's up to the DM whether or not the PCs ever find evidence of any plot. If the evidence is there in the campaign, what if the PCs never find it? Well, that's not a problem. If the PCs don't know about something, they can't do anything about it. The assassination goes through, and then the PCs are tasked with getting to the bottom of it. If the assassin gets away without leaving a trail, what do they do? If they would rather go fight giants or seek out a dragon's treasure, let them. If the PCs happen to have done something that merits their presence at the wedding, maybe then they get wind of something and have a chance to change the course of the timeline. However, it should not be a requirement that the PCs even know about this. If the big bad has the resources to hire the best assassin, how likely is it for this person to make a mistake? Now, there is a chance, and the DM should decide if there is a chance of failure or how exactly they want to play it out. And if the PCs are nowhere near the scene, like down in the dungeon or across the world, or somehow otherwise unavailable, the assassination goes down as predetermined. And in my mind, that's the only thing that some might consider a railroad that would be permitted. But it is still possible that through the actions of the PCs, the original assassin might be met in another situation prior to the wedding. If they take out this assassin in this earlier encounter, then the next best assassin has to be assigned to the task, and their chance of success or failure is likewise determined. Perhaps the PCs decide to go investigate something that leads them to discover the big bad and interrupt her plot. Personally, I've played in many games and GM'd several where all kinds of options are presented to the players, and the players always manage to find some significance where the game master may not have intended it to be. And that's okay too, The players sense that something is important, and it opens up a whole new something to be explored, whether it's a plot, a dungeon, a monster, and so forth. The calendar, or timeline for a campaign, is the schedule and not the railroad. Just as something can delay a train, such as the tracks out, accidents, fuel shortage, robbery, and so forth, many things can delay or redirect the events of the campaign timeline. In some places, the train never runs on the time stated on the schedule. Now, for my AD&D campaign online, I've determined 2 years worth of events. I like the idea in the AD&D Oriental Adventures for determining the event for each year, and then for each month in the year, and some events like a flood or earthquake may be nearly impossible for the PCs to stop. And other events like an invasion might be something that can be stopped or delayed or prepared for if the players find out about it and get the word to the right people. Having a campaign timeline with nearly inevitable events planned is not a railroad. A railroad would be forcing the players to do something about those planned events. What if the players don't see their involvement as required or important? What if they see some other plot or action in the world as more important? An example from my campaign is a wedding between the ruler of the town that is the home base for the players and the king's niece. The players just found a magic sword and shield that I expected them to keep and use. Instead, they had their own plans. They want to get in good with the powers that be for their own ambitions, so they make a present of this sword and shield to the baron, and because there's some well-known lore associated with them, they get invited to the wedding, and later the reception and party, where they get to meet the princess, the king, and several other powerful people. This was in my home campaign with my son and his now fiancée. My plan was that the wedding happened and they might get a glimpse of the king and retinue when they came into town for the procession to and from the temple for the wedding, and perhaps again when they left. But how many players just give up a magic weapon and armor knowing that they're magical? I never saw their actions coming, so I had to improvise a wedding ceremony and a party and have other NPCs generated on the fly. The players were much more excited to have met the king and queen and gotten in the good graces of the baron, who is now married to the king's niece. And yeah, they thought the magic items were cool, but role-playing and the player-driven goals were so much more fun and interesting than I could ever come up with on my own. It's like the twist ending of a book or movie that is handled so well, you don't see it coming and are rewarded by getting the full effect due to the finesse with which it was presented. If you've ever seen a movie or read a book with a big twist at the end that is predictable and not well presented, for me it leaves me feeling uneasy and disappointed. A railroad that forces the players to go where and how the DM wants them to go is like the poorly executed twist, totally unsatisfying. And as I've said before, a timeline or calendar is not a railroad, just a schedule of possible future events in the course of the game. The players don't know about this schedule and only learn of events as they happen, or if they happen to be in the right place at the right time, to learn of them before they happen. Even if the players know that something is up, they still have the power to decide if that something is important enough to figure out what it is and if they should do anything about it. For example, suppose the players learn of the assassination plot to disrupt the wedding. What if they just get word to the appropriate authorities about this and the location or timing of the wedding changes? That alone might be all it takes to foil the plot. Or it might force the big bad to come out of hiding and get involved personally to make things go her way. And as I've said elsewhere in a prior article, if the DM has a story to tell, they should write the story instead of forcing the players to do something in-game that doesn't interest them. And then my other article from June of 2015, what if your RPG involves a railroad? Can a session of a role-playing game take place on a train and not be a railroad? Yes, groans all around, of course. If the transportation is on rails and the action happens on the transportation, how do you handle the gameplay and not make it a railroad in the gaming sense? For example, a scenario like Murder on the Orient Express or a train robbery in the Old West and many other things. Similarly, if the players are on a ship at sea or a vessel in space, their ability to go when and where they want is limited. And as with sandbox-style play, the player should have a choice of whether or not they even get on the ship or the train. They can choose to remain on board for the entire duration, or exit at any scheduled or unscheduled stop or jump off mid-voyage. Although jumping off a moving train may be safer than jumping off a ship in the middle of the ocean or a starship between systems. So unless there's some device or plot element to enable near guaranteed survival, that could be quite challenging. Players should be free to follow or not follow any clues to past, present, or future adventures. They should be free to attempt to go to any location on the train, ship, or other vessel, like the engine or engine room. As with real life, if I was on a train and wanted to go to the engine, I could try to do it. I might slip off and fall to my death, but I can still try. So if a player says they want to go to the engine room of the ocean liner, let them try it. They might meet a surly crew member or end up in the brig, or they just might make it work. With any sandbox style of play, the answer from the GM should not be no, but let's see what happens. Be ready for the appropriate random rolls for skills, abilities, morale reactions, or combat. If they can turn invisible and or walk through walls, it could be a trivial task. However, if they can't do those things, it can be an epic way for a character to retire. So those are some thoughts on railroad-style play. As you may have guessed, I prefer sandbox-style play and the emergent story that happens at the table. And elaborate backstories get in the way from the way I'm used to playing. And for me, I can't remember an elaborate backstory. So I got to keep it simple. And I really don't know my characters until I've had a chance to feel them out through play. And if they die in the first adventure, I haven't wasted a lot of effort. So I'm curious to hear what you all think about railroads and my idea of timelines and railroads not being a railroad. Please call in and share your thoughts. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!